We've been friends a long time. We can discuss anything, right?
Sure, bud.
Well, I have an issue.
No kidding. You cheer for Boston.
An issue down there?
Hey, half of all guys experience erectile dysfunction. Heard of Felix? Felix connects you to a doctor for an assessment. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations. Treatment is delivered discreetly to your door.
Sounds great.
I just wish you'd be more discreet about wearing that Boston jersey in Toronto.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 2 all afternoon. Brian Hazio, Dr. Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. How we feeling on a Thursday afternoon?
What's up? How we doing?
How we feeling?
Now,
how about
them
Bills? Go ahead, Noodles. Go ahead, Noodles.
What
do you
the
got?
Hell? Okay, so I watched I flew in from Vegas this morning to L.A., and I watched, they had the Bills game on the plane. It was awesome watching the game, and there's a little gap where I've got to drive to the hotel, and all hell is breaking loose. People are yelling and screaming about clock management. I see that you covered Hayes, so that's why you're gloating, correct?
Yeah, well, you know what they say. Good teams win, great teams cover.
Who
great
had that pick,
cover.
By the way? Was that our doing or your doing?
No, that was my pick. Yeah, I had okay. that pick. Yes, and I was on the Lions, and I will say,
happy with yourself.
It's heartbreaking, though, if you're a Lions fan. I mean, I will say, this is deja vu. Every year we have the same conversation. Why are the Lions on U.S. Thanksgiving? Why are we subjected to them every single year? And I understand that's tradition. They created this whole
day of football. Dude, it's a legit question, though, Hayes. Like American people, American fans must be saying, why do we have to sit down before a feed bag and watch these guys? Get another team. Is it like a contract or something?
Yeah,
what the hell's
it's their
going
thing.
On?
They owned it. They started it forever. It was the Lions the first game, the Cowboys the second, and then NBC came in and said, we're paying a fortune. We want a third game at night. And, I believe the butt fumble game may have been the first three-pack U.S. Thanksgiving. That was 10 years ago, as we know. But to put this into perspective, okay, the Lions with the loss today, and that's heartbreaking, heartbreaking. They're battling a really good team in the Bills. They kick a tying field goal. Of course, the Bills have time on the clock to take it down. They kick a game winner, and the Bills end up winning by 3. Detroit has now lost 6 in a row on Thanksgiving. They're 5-17 in their last 22. Like, here's what I think of. I feel for the family members who didn't go to the game, who live in Detroit, who stayed home to prep so that Bob and Gary and Daryl, like crazy Lions fans, go to the game and push back Thanksgiving. It's ruined every year because you know that guy's coming home and he's so miserable and he doesn't want to talk to anybody and he's pissed off that the family's over. Like, the Lions are ruining Thanksgiving. Think about how often that probably happens.
Like, they're on the way out the door to the game. They're really going to do it this year, Lloyd. And on the way back, they're just like, no.
Just miserable.
Cancel it.
They're miserable. How sickening that must be.
I would guarantee, don't you think that there's one lunatic fan that just calls the wife and says, get everyone out of the house.
Out.
Cancel out. It. I'm not coming
Hayes,
home.
I don't understand. I don't understand about, like, it's about TV. How does Detroit say we actually own this time slot? Like, are you kidding me?
I don't know, man. I'm assuming
it... Like, can't the TV network just say, actually, that's great that you always have a game, but we're putting another game on somewhere else?
You would think so. I mean, I guess the Ford family, who's been a longstanding owner, you know, it's about respecting their tradition. I'll say this. It was a great game. Thoroughly entertaining game. You know, and I think a large part of that was the Bills almost finding a way to throw it away. But the Bills survive. And since they left Buffalo because of the thunder snow, they take 2 at Ford Field. They beat Cleveland. They beat the Lions. And that was a big win. And you could see it was a real sense of relief from Josh Allen when they found a way to punch that home and win that game. So credit to the Bills. The Lions had won 3 in a row, but now they lose. And their season was over anyway, but now that's another thing. Like, it's officially over. I think they're 4-8. Yeah. It's done. You know, Dan Campbell's biting kneecaps off, but it's not it's not working.
What a throw by Allen, though.
It really was.
Absolute laser beam. What was that, a 40-yard throw? Like, it was just a rocket.
And then he takes on contact to, you know, move the ball, move the chains that much more, and boom, right through the uprights, the game is over. And, you know, if you're a Bills fan, you're happy. On the other side, if you're a Bills fan and you've been pushing off having your Thanksgiving, you're obviously ecstatic. And Jack Armstrong will join us in just over an hour. Jack being one of those, you know, Western New Yorkers who loves the Bills, I'm sure he's ecstatic. And I wonder if he didn't get to keep Drake's coat last night. What the hell was that coat? I mean, that coat. How valuable is that jacket? How much do you think that thing's worth?
$100,000
It's a $25,000 jacket.
$25,000
Probably. I mean, I don't know the designer, but that's not some, like, that's not H&M, like, faux fur.
No,
right?
That's the real steal. Yeah, I'm thinking he paid a lot of money for that.
I say $100,000 it's worth, because if Jack put that on eBay, somebody's buying that, for sure.
That's true. If Jack could walk out of there with Drake's jacket and put that on eBay for charity or whatever, that's going to get a lot of money. But there was like a stuffy or two on the front of it. It was a weird-looking jacket, man.
There was, yeah. I thought, I, you know what?
There's a dog.
I thought I was seeing things. There was some sort of like stuffed animal on the left pocket, was there not?
Yes, absolutely.
I could have sworn that somebody superimposed that. I was like, okay, the internet having some fun or doing something. Because I was like, I wasn't even going to bring it up. Because I thought there was a stuffed animal or some sort of thing attached to the coat.
Well, it was. It was. And Jack was rocking it last night. So we'll ask Jack if he can put a price tag on that. Yeah. And obviously the Raptors, they lost last night. And they were really, they weren't run out of the gym, but they were chasing the game all night. And we'll get into that more with Jack a little bit later on. John Herdman is in the crossfires of the Croatian media and Croatia in general. They're not happy with John Herdman. We'll play his audio from yesterday, how he followed up today. Matthew Schenetti will join us later this hour from Qatar on what's up with Herdman, Croatia, his comments, and start looking ahead to game two against Croatia on Sunday. Obviously, some really heavy hearts in Leaf land today. The passing of Borja Salmic, so quick, man. He was just here a week ago. Like, Borja was just here a week ago, and it was such a magical experience to see him here and for the Leafs to salute him the way they did. I thought they did an exceptional job, but for it to happen that quickly, for him to go back home. And
I remember, Hayes, seeing a couple tweets saying, this is so emotional because it almost feels like goodbye, hopefully not. And I was thinking to myself, I don't know what kind of condition he's going to be in a couple of years down the road, but maybe he can make it back here sometime mm-hmm. in some capacity. And then a week later, he's gone.
Yeah.
It's so sad. Incredible.
The news actually floored me and shocked me too. But all I could think about is that, you know, what a send off. I want to find the right words here because I'm trying to be respectful, you know, more than anything. It's just, it was so emotional last week, the fan base being there, him, his former teammates, everybody. And, you know, I think this is what people want to remember him as. You know, it's such a debilitating disease, and I just, it's so sad on so many levels. But, you know, for him to go that quickly, somebody had to have known, you know, maybe that the time was ticking away, but I'm glad they got to be able to do it.
Yeah, it was one last goodbye from Toronto, and I think from the NHL as well, right? It's not just about Toronto. It was the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer. And yeah, I mean, Gary Bettman issued a statement today on behalf of the NHL and the Hall of Fame, of course. And, that's what it was. It was a final goodbye to a legend, you know, an absolute legend, a bigger than, larger than life figure in Toronto sports, in hockey history, Swedish hockey history. And Bob McKenzie will join us. We're going to catch up with the outsider, Bobby Mack, because he's on the panel tomorrow with you guys. And obviously, Bob was a big Leaf fan growing up himself, covered the Leafs very closely, covered Borja, has been a big part of the Hall of Fame. So we'll catch up with Bobby Mack later this afternoon, get more into the life and legacy of Borja Salming. But his former team, I thought that was as gutty of a win as you could expect out of the Leafs last night. And, you know, I credit, obviously, the Devils, who've won 13 in a row, and they didn't just show up and mail it in. They were pushing for 14. But you go, you're down your three best defensemen. Ben leaves in the third. you're in a tough environment where obviously everyone in Jersey knows what's at stake, that they've won 13 in a row. They blocked a ton of shots. Matt Murray played exceptionally well.
Yeah, I thought he was really good.
I got to, like, listen, the metrics may say one thing. You can talk about the Devils, and they deserve their flowers. If I'm the Leafs, I'm really proud of that effort. I thought that was a really
gutty win. Yeah, it wasn't an effort.
Win.
It wasn't a game of perfect.
Of
they were hanging
not.
On for dear life. And by the way, Hayes, they always talk about learning lessons or whatever happened when disappointment happens. I think they could walk out of that building last night and take something out of that saying, if anyone's going to beat us, that's what we got to give back to them, because it wasn't easy. Like, they were hanging on for dear life for those 2 points. And Jersey, however the transformation happened, they're sick of losing, and they started really digging winning. And they said to themselves, we don't like this. We don't like that we're behind. And they put the pedal to the metal and gave the Leafs everything they had. So you talk about a learning lesson. I think the Leafs could walk out of that building and say, if someone's going to take 2 points from us, that's what we have to give them. Obviously, the days of beating the hell out of somebody and fighting and saying you're going to be battered and bruised, no way. But you could pin it in the third period and say, this is what we're giving you if you're going to take the 2 points off us.
I want to point to one thing where I felt you knew how important the game was to them. Did you see the Giordano's reaction right at the end of the game?
He was jumping, like, screaming.
You know, that's a warrior. That's a guy who knew what was at stake. And I know, listen, it's November hockey. There's not a lot at stake, but they knew they were up against one. They knew that, you know, it wasn't a game of perfect, but their goaltender was good. The D who played battled. You got some timely goals. I know people are yelling and screaming about, Hayes, I'd be interested to see with the replay and all that, where your head's at. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they got it done. And that's all that matters, is it was a very, very tough building to play in based on how well New Jersey has been playing. And New Jersey didn't take their foot off the gas. They could have packed it in the first period, down 2-0, saying,
absolutely,
you know what, it's not our night. But they dug in. So it was a really entertaining game.
That's what sticks out is that it was a thoroughly entertaining game. And there was a lot at stake, I think. For the Devils, obviously, we know what was at stake. And, you know, that's why they're throwing stuff on the ice like buffoons. And that says something about that market, that it's a regular season game. You're throwing things on the ice. But, you know, I'll leave it at that. But the Leafs, I think for them, it wasn't about stopping Jersey from winning their 14th in a row, which I'm sure would be important. And that's bulletin board material. But it's about them continuing to prove that they can be successful, even though they keep taking licks. You know, without Riley, without Brody, with Ben leaving. You got Mac Hollowell making his debut. He had to play a lot of minutes last night. I'm sure that was not the plan. You know, if you're going to slide him into his first game on the road, probably ideally he plays how many minutes? You know, 7-8 minutes? Like, you find some time, scattered time, good positions. He starts everything in the offensive zone. And, you know, because of what happened, obviously a lot of those game plans had to be thrown out the window. But I think Matt Murray deserves a ton of credit. You look at the way this guy's played ever since he came back from injury. It started as poorly as you could expect it to. He loses in Montreal, didn't play that well, then gets injured, gone for weeks, and he comes back in Pittsburgh, game we were on a panel for just over a week ago, and since then he's been lights out, and he's winning games, he's been solid. You know, the review process, I stand where I stand on that, although the refs were calling it off pretty much.
You better be careful if you're talking about Matt Murray, because I think the one behind the net where the guy, I don't know if it was Bastion again.
Tatar.
Was it Tatar that nudged him? That was incidental contact, but he sold it. He dove, and he fell towards the ice, and he got the call. So he better be careful. This one right here, he does kind of nudge him, but after that, he flops around, and that's embellishment. That is flat-out embellishment. And I'm sure if the referee had a decision, they would have said no. Like, there's no way that made him fall down like that. So he got 3 calls last night. He just better kind of, I don't know, Noodles. If they can, they monitor. Well, it's just like bunting. Bunting was diving a lot last year and drawing a lot of penalties. You don't think the refs kind of sit and say, you better watch this guy. He got the 3 calls last night, but he just stay on your feet, because they're not gonna give you that every time.
Yeah, I mean, the third one was the easiest one for me, because it was kicked in. Like, and it went off the left skate of Robertson. That was the easiest call for me. The other two are subjective because I thought the first one was the 50-50 coin toss for me because clearly Bastion clicks gates with him, but Murray still gets back into position, and it's kind of going, I don't know if it's going wide, but Bastion, it hits the left skate, and he spins it into the net. So those are 50-50 calls. Goaltender interference is subject. I have a different opinion than both of you guys, than anybody else. And that's what I think frustrates people. And I was joking with Gord Miller last night. I'm like, that referee was terrified to make that call. I made the wrong call after he announced it and then was like, nope, sorry.
That was a tough one when he said, good goal. And then he was like, no.
Nope, sorry. Like, can you imagine the fans are like, what is this guy doing? And he's the guy who actually made the call on the ice. He was in position. So, yeah, you're right. It's the luck of the draw, and it's 50-50. It's subject to review. And you got calls last night. You might not get some in the future. But those aren't the black and white calls.
Noodles, well, it seemed like the other ref skated up to him after he made the call, and he's like, do you know what the hell you're doing, man? And he was like, yeah, I swear to God, his skate hit the goal. He skated. Because the other ref went right. I think it was Chris Rooney. He went up to him, and it honestly looked like he was saying, do you know what the hell you're doing, man? And the guy was like, yeah, I think his skate hit his skate. And I'm like, all right, we're in business here. We might have, we're in business here.
Yeah, but that's the nature of it. Like, I think Ray coined the term a couple of weeks ago where it's not a rule, it's an opinion. Like, that's all it is. You're going and look, you're reviewing something, and those calls can go one way one night, and then the next night a different set of eyes can look at it and say, I'll let it slide. You know, and that's the crux of my argument. It always has been. It's not overly complicated. It's that I think ultimately it's just a waste of time because at the end of the day no one knows what the hell they're doing anyway. Whatever the call is on the ice is probably going to balance out over time because you're just going to waste time by reviewing it. And, you know, last night it obviously benefited the Leafs greatly. Like, it greatly benefited them going through that process. There's no disputing that.
I can't remember the last time.
I've never seen three like that. No. And not in an atmosphere like that, right? A tight game. Like, if it was three, let's say, you know, the Leafs won 6-1 and the Devils had three, or the Devils still won the game 4-2 and they had three. The fact that it was for a 14th win in a row in Jersey, it's the night before Thanksgiving, and as you guys have pointed out, everyone was up for a good time.
And by the way, Hayes, when you disallow three goals in New Jersey, I know you don't want it, it's dangerous or whatever, you're getting beers thrown on the ice. That's the way it's going to happen.
It takes one idiot to start it, and then everyone's like, well, I guess if we're doing it, we're all going
to start. That is the night before Thanksgiving. They've been in their basement since noon, and that was going to happen.
Exactly.
I know. I hate it. It's dangerous. It's gross
so
looking. But that was going to happen.
It's Jersey in a nutshell.
I've always hated
it. It's irrelevant.
Hey.
But, I mean, listen. Toronto's no different. They were throwing beers in the Blue Jays game.
That was game 5 of the ALDS. You're right, though. Not condoning it.
What are you defending the situation?
A hockey game in November? Come on. That's how irrelevant the whole situation is down there.
Put it this way. I think throwing things is ridiculous regardless of any atmosphere, any sporting event. It's dangerous. It's gutless. I don't even like when Florida had those rats, those rubber rats after a win.
Mm-hmm.
I got beamed in the head a few times with those things, and that's, you know, throwing stuff for joy. It's ridiculous. I hate stuff being thrown.
Yeah, that
regardless
was that was crazy it. Last night. Like,
yeah,
that
exactly.
was legitimately.
I'm not sure that the Leafs needed to leave the bench. That was a tough look. I mean, it was, they weren't throwing, you know, hacksaws and tire irons. Like, you know, just clean it up and move on. Like, that's the way I felt.
I don't know. I and it's not something that I think the league needs to.
No.
Have some summit on because it never really happens, and when it does, you gotta find a way to cool the masses down, and it's on the home team to get their own fans to cool it down. Like, remember that with game 5 at the Dome, it was the Jays that were coming out kind of scolding the fans.
Yeah,
you know, they were coming out saying, "Stop it! You gotta relax. You gotta chill out here." And
was that the Kenny Pagan?
No, Kenny Pagan was the next year in the wild card game. So
yeah.
Kenny. You know, he was in a game 5 ALDS mood, but he was a year late. he waited until the wild card.
The grappler and I were texting today, and I was like, "Was that the Ken?" And he's like, "No, he was trying to." I think there was two incidents right? Back-to-back years where the stuff was thrown, correct?
Yeah, and it was both like historic home runs. Like the Rangers game five was the bat flip, and the wild card was the Edwin walk-off in the 10th.
Yeah,
and
right.
Both were the fans in Toronto started throwing stuff, and yet the team ends up still winning in the end.
Everyone's
maybe save all your throwing. Actually, like, not condoning throwing at all. Like, as we know, goes without saying. But until the game's over and you kind of know where everything stands, like game five in the wild card game, the Jays won both of them, which made like it look even more ridiculous.
When both teams are like close to entering their locker room or clubhouse, go ahead, throw your beer on the ice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when they're actually out there on the playing field, don't do it.
Right.
It's like anything else you do that's stupid. You're gonna hurt. What happens if you hurt somebody and you do something really stupid? Then bad news.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Agreed. Yep. Did you guys in junior? I always felt like junior buildings, like Medicine Hat, when I played junior, they had some great grinders behind the bench, and same thing with Moose Jaw. One time I had a full like slice of pizza thrown, and it stuck on the cage of my mask. Like it was literally just stuck to my face.
Not in the O. Didn't happen in the O.
Oh, okay. The O was
civilized,
so much cleaner.
Civilized.
Yeah, civilized. Yeah, you guys civilized. Never had anything like that in some of those goon buildings?
Oh,
no,
you guys in the dub, you always chirped us about how we're wussies in the O and the road trips are so short and you guys have the toughest players and the longest road trips. Every CHL All-Star game or World Juniors, all the guys in the dub would be like, oh my God, the road trips out west are so much longer. Guys are so much tougher. And I was like, oh my God.
I think everything
never
was
stopped.
Tough in junior. I would have preferred to play in the O. You're right. I would have taken an hour and a half bus ride instead of 12 or 8 or whatever. That didn't toughen me up. It annoyed me, if anything, sitting on a bus for 12 hours each way to play in a barn that smelled like a barn in Brandon, Manitoba.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there were some gritty spots for sure, but I'm sure there's examples of craziness happening, but we'd have to look that up. All right, Matthew Schenetti will join us from Qatar on the Herdman comments yesterday, right after the match, about what he thinks Canada needs to do to Croatia on Sunday. And now the circle back, he was asked about it. We'll play the audio. We'll get into it with Matthew. We'll ask him to set the scene as well for the match on Sunday, which will be rapidly approaching right here on TSN, CTV, TSN Radio, etc. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and up on TSN 2. All right, Jack Armstrong in about an hour. Bob McKenzie later this afternoon as well. We got to ask him about this tweet Curtis sent in. I don't remember this. Bob was in the building in the Gardens in 93. Curtis claiming in 93 after McSorley elbowed Gilmore and after all the brawls, someone at the Gardens threw their crutches on the ice. I don't remember ever seeing that.
Can you imagine that?
I don't remember
that. That is something else. I mean, we're joking with it. I come back to it. We hope that, I mean, glad that nobody got hurt last night, all of that stuff. But it just, that is the weirdest thing. I mean, we've seen some things get thrown. We see jerseys all the time get thrown on the ice. People get pissed off about stuff. Wasn't it Waffles years ago with the Leafs?
But like, that was in protest to the team.
Right.
You know,
I still don't know what
for.
The waffles meant.
I don't really understand it either.
But you know what Bobby Mack's worst comment? Not his worst, but the one I hated the most. He goes and chirps Gretzky in that series with the LA Kings.
That's right.
And his headline was Gretzky skating. Maybe not the headline. It was a part of the piece. Gretzky is skating around like he has a piano on his back. And then Gretzky goes and did what he did.
Yep. Just sticks it to Bobby Mack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hit the greatest game of his career, Game 7. There's the piano right off his back, and they march to the Cup Final. We'll ask Bob about that, too, in a couple hours. All right, John Herdman, after the emotional loss to Belgium, where he obviously felt very good about the way his team played, as he should, was asked immediately, and he's still all fired up, hey, what'd you tell the team? Like, what was the reaction, and what kind of message did you send moving forward to Croatia on Sunday?
I just showed them the stats. I just showed them they belong here. Told them they belong here. And we're going to go and F Croatia. That's as simple as it gets.
So
nothing wrong with that. That's not like Masai's Brooklyn one or anything like that. That's as polite as you can get, isn't it?
Do you guys think that was bulletin board material? I don't. I mean, he's just... he's emotional, saying, "Hey, we played well. Let's go and play them hard." Type of thing.
I'm guessing he'd prefer to take that back publicly. You know, I think what he actually did there was he was 100% honest. Like, how many times have we all been in the room? You guys more than I. Well, that's exactly what a coach would say. You know, we're going to kill these guys. We're going to get them. Like, who's Croatia? We don't care about Croatia. What are you going to reference their world ranking and say, well, they were in the World Cup final 4 years ago. Okay. We should be scared. Like, of course that's your attitude. Privately. I think what makes it a story is he said it immediately publicly. And then Croatian media caught wind of it and said, we better go down and catch up with Johnny Herdman and see what he can say to us or were willing to tell us about it the day after. And here's what Herdman had to say in response to the kind of poking and prodding from the Croatian media.
In that moment, you know, you're taking your men to that next place. You're taking your team to that next place that we're here to be fearless and to bring everything we've got to that game. So, yeah, I mean, no disrespect to the Croatian team and Croatian people, but at the end of the day, it's a mindset that Canada's going to have if we're going to have 3 points against one of the top teams in the world.
All right, let's head over to Qatar. Here's our man on the scene. Here's Matthew Schinetti. Is this a big story over there, like the Croatian media? Like, what are we dealing with here? Herdman's comments from yesterday and bulletin board material for Croatia. Are you buying that, Matthew?
Well, Hayes is the guy who asked John Herdman the question yesterday on the field. Pretty innocuously, I thought, because I saw him obviously bring his team together after that disappointing loss to Belgium. Knowing John Herdman's messaging, knowing how much his players buy into it. And it's funny because you think of all the things around Canada from a soccer perspective, and you're experiencing so many new, well, not new, I mean, Canada has been in the World Cup before, but the emotions and the positivity around Canadian men's soccer. So a lot of these things, I mentioned on the broadcast about the sword, the literal sword he has his team stick in the ground before games, this confidence that they have, this new Canada mentality. And then what you heard yesterday from Herdman saying F Croatia, that wasn't, like, I'm not going to say that's by design, but that's not an isolated incident. I was speaking to midfielder David Wotherspoon, who plays in Scotland, who plays for a team in St. Johnston, who has won trophies in Scotland despite the powerhouses of Rangers and Celtic. And he told me a couple days ago, yeah, we're here to F things up. I mean, you're absolutely right. You guys are bang on in saying this is the kind of coach speak that happens in the locker room that you rarely get to hear publicly. And everyone knows kind of quietly that it happens. But it's a big story because he said it about Croatia. And I've got Croatian fans coming after me on social media because I asked the question, and this sense of hierarchy and respect that must be paid to the world powers in soccer. And John Herdman, as he said there in the clip you guys played, it really doesn't matter. Like, we have to have this mentality. We absolutely respect Luka Modric and what he's done, and being the Ballon d'Or winner, nearly leading his country to a World Cup title in Russia 4 years ago. But we can't go there kissing his feet. We're there to kick his butt, or, you know, use whatever colorful language that you want. John Herdman is a master motivator, and sure, will I accept that he was passionate in the moment? Absolutely. But I will also say that nothing he does isn't by design.
Did the comment make waves, though, Matthew? I mean, when a superpower country in football and maybe a star player in that country made those comments, or their coach, it would be so much more powerful. Like, did it really make waves? Did it get people's attention, you think, the comment? I actually don't think that. I think it was like a PG version of what you would normally say. I didn't think it was that big a deal. But how many waves do you think it made?
Zlatko Dalic, who was the head coach, O-Dog, said after his availability today, he understood what John Herdman was saying, but he also said basically that he felt it was unnecessary, that the game is going to be played on the field. John Herdman's kind of new to this, too. I mean, he's the first man to lead a women's and men's team to a World Cup, and you know, Canada has made waves here. I can tell you that what they did last night against Belgium turned a lot of heads, not because I don't think anyone was expecting Belgium to just roll over Canada, but given the fact that Canada had a penalty so early and then had it saved and should maybe have had another one and kept taking the game to Belgium, and if not for one mistake, Canada, at the very least, you would think would have tied that game, and the Belgian players were certainly respectful afterwards, and to take it up another notch and to, I won't say call out, but to put a statement of intent down, yeah, it's certainly perked a lot of people up over here. Yeah, to say it's made waves, well, when it comes on the day that Brazil is about to play, when Ronaldo scores in his fifth straight World Cup, the first men's player to do that, it's not on that same level, because I'm not saying it still is Canada, but we're still now in the round robin, and every team is kind of jockeying for position in terms of attention. But undoubtedly, John Herdman, you know, and having Chris Hadfield, the astronaut, there, and knowing last night the kind of statement his team was making, and having Thibaut Courtois, the best goalkeeper in the world who plays for Belgium, go up to Canadian players afterwards and say, yeah, you guys deserve more from this game. To top that off with a comment about, yeah, we're, you know, F Croatia, here we come. Yeah, it's definitely made waves.
You mentioned you had comments from Croatians on social media. How about the reporters over there, the Croatians? Were they giving you the side eye where you're going to have to defend yourself face to face? I mean, are you taking some of the blame just for asking some of the question? I didn't think that was a bad question or anything, leading the witness.
No, you know, Noodles, so Janine Becky and I were in Canada's media center today, and we were actually sitting in front of the gentleman who asked the question from the Croatian media. And I went ahead afterwards and I asked Kamal Miller, I said, you know, Kamal, did you see that as disrespectful or as part of John Herdman's messaging? And those around who saw the gentleman behind me as soon as I asked that question, apparently he didn't like it too much and kind of gave me a was staring holes in the back of my head, apparently, from those around. So it's, there are always going to be. And what you tend to hear when, you know, this is my first experience covering a World Cup, what you tend to hear is reporters saying we and ours and taking ownership of their teams. And you could hear that in the way that the reporter was framing the question. And I don't go ahead and judge him harshly for doing that. But when you have when you know that Croatia took so much pride in its accomplishment in getting to the World Cup final, yes, losing to France in 2018, there's a lot of pride in that country. And knowing when they, you know, from afar, and those in Qatar as well, watching the Canadian head coach do what he did and say what he said, and then Canadian media kind of, I won't say justify, but kind of say to players, hey, listen, do you want to explain this? Is this disrespectful or is this just part of the messaging? These guys aren't around this team all the time. All they see is, well, Canada's in the World Cup. This team, you know, they won't know that Canada was 72nd in the world 4 years ago when Croatia was making the World Cup final. But they don't see Canada as significant. They certainly, as I said before, will have been perked up by what Canada did against Belgium. But Croatia's not going in thinking that, oh, goodness, you know, we're going to have all these problems with Canada. This new Canada mentality is John Herdman saying, listen, the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get people's attention by being brash and different. And being brash and different from the sensible way, at least outside of other the recognized sports that Canada dominates, like hockey, where we're known for toughness and grittiness on the ice. When it comes to the soccer field, yeah, Canadians don't have a reputation like that. John Herdman and his team are trying to build it.
We're chatting with Matthew Schenetti in Qatar, Canada, Croatia on Sunday. Any idea of lineup changes, formation changes, game plan changes? What do you think happens between now and kickoff on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, a lot of people are being introduced, Hayes, to really the short timeline that you have. But here's the benefit that Canada has in this World Cup as opposed to other ones. In other World Cups, if you're in a country, you'd be traveling today. And that adds to your recovery day. And the side effect of that, though, is they're staying in Doha at their home base, but it is always hot here. It's always sunny and always hot. And I was there today, and players are going through what they call quote-unquote regeneration and recovery and just doing stretching and running. there's going to be some concerns. And I take a look at Milan Borjan, who has been dealing with an abdominal injury since Canada's last friendly against Japan before the World Cup. He was grimacing while the play was at the other end, kind of stretching out his stomach as much as he could. And Tejon Buchanan, who, like Richie Larea, like Alistair Johnston, like Kamal Miller, all of these guys who were, as John Herdman said today, you know, were raising their measurables and all of the physical checks that that he and his staff do, that they kept pushing them upwards. I mean, Tejon Buchanan went down with severe cramp towards the end of the game, and while the game was back in Canada's half, he was still trying to recover and get up. So Herdman, again, being the master motivator, talks about raising levels again, but there's a lot of work that's going to have to be done before Sunday afternoon when Canada plays about 7 o'clock local time. And you're talking about hydration, you're talking about stretching, you're talking about getting them ready for the fact that, you know, unlike when they played Japan, sure, they had about a week or just a little over a week before they played Belgium in their first World Cup game. All of the energy that they had at the start of that game against Belgium, they have to bring in what is essentially, sure, it's not, you know, lose and go home. You know, if they get a draw, it may not necessarily be the end of their World Cup, but the fact is, you know, they have to go out and approach Croatia, not with a similar game plan, but with the same kind of intensity. But you saw the way that John Herdman went to his bench. Does Kyle Larin get the start? He came off the bench. There's a young player like Ismail Kone, who has played so well for CF Montreal and seemed fearless with English teams wanting to come after him in the transfer window. Does he start for Atiba Hutchinson, who's only essentially played three games this year, is 39 years old, an incredible accomplishment getting to the World Cup, but that kind of load to play that high intensity level yet again? And do we see Jonathan Osorio come out, Sam Adekubi? Canada has impact players, and John Herdman is, you speak to those who played under him, especially with the women's team, they talk about how much of a plan he has. I suspect that he might have a lineup change or two, only because of the intensity level that his players played with against Belgium and have to play again against Croatia.
Matthew, before we get you out of here quickly, Duthie posted a picture like in the desert with the sun behind him.
Oh, with on the camera.
No, hang on a sec. You love snapping a pic of yourself too. How did he do on that? And who took that pic? Like, what did he? Does he have to say to like a friend, like Puffy or somebody, make sure you get the sun, make sure you get the desert, and make sure you get me on my phone and make it look natural? Give me the background behind that, and how did he do with the pic?
Okay, so I can't give you the background in that particular picture, but I can give you the context around it, because earlier in our trip here, including Puffy, we all went out to and Lindsay Hamilton. We all did basically the same thing
look
that James
this
did
guy.
Today. He wasn't here.
What a hero.
He was on his. He was on his own, or I don't think he was on his own. He might have been with the executives and just going ahead and being James Duthie, a man about town and of the world. And yes, you know, it is a bit of a camel trek. You get on there, and it is a very jolting experience. But they basically they lead you up a sand dune, and then they lead you down, and a lot scarier going down than it is coming up that sand dune. But the crazy thing is that I want to know. Having, as you out me there, oh dog, yes, I did take a picture of myself on it, although it was a very scary experience. It was driving in the sand dunes. You know, we would have loved to have had all three of you boys there, because to have some of our very, very trusted local guides take us through the sand dunes in their 4x4s, I mean, I love a good roller coaster, but this was insane. And the picture I want to know, for the experience I want to know from Duthie is, how much, if he was willing to go as crazy as we went, because I can tell you, Puffy and I, we enjoy just being spun around and flipped all over the place. I don't know, though, about James, but clearly we heard that he desperately wanted to be on the camel, and he had a big smile being on that camel.
Oh, what a pick.
Well, we appreciate it, buddy. It's a great pick, and just a quick note, you guys are all doing an unbelievable job. I know that's a big project. There's a lot of airtime. There's a lot of hours. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for all what you guys are doing over there. Everyone's looking and doing fabulously. Thank you, Matthew.
Appreciate you, boys.
You got it. There he is, Matthew Schinetti. And as he said, there's some big shooters over there just hanging around as well. So you got to.
Dude, I just don't understand. Like, Duthie's 58 years old, and what did he say to Puffy? Can you get the sun? Like, Make sure you get the angle. Look at this guy. What does he think? He's Drake? Is that Drake on top of the CN Tower?
That does honestly look like the. It looks like a Pink Floyd, album cover or something.
It does. The other one with him on the camo, he's got the tricep flex too. You can tell he's
big
got the microphone.
Tight shirt.
Did our colleagues love the camo pics, didn't they? Like, that hit the gram so fast when they saw that camo. They were like, they were in shock. And they went to the gram immediately.
It was a race to Instagram. Racing to Instagram.
Yeah.
Would you guys do it?
I'd do it. Yeah, I'd give it a shot. Sure. I'd be a little bit nervous about, my camel taking off and you're out in the desert or something. Like, that would be concerning. You get a rogue camel and you'll never see me again.
Yeah, but I'd
give it a
shot. I feel like a camel would bite me. Like, animals don't like me. A camel would bite me for sure. And don't they spit and slobber everywhere and stuff too?
It's a domesticated wild animal, which is an oxymoron, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's just that's what you do.
You're not up on your camel behavior, are you?
I'm not necessarily up on my camel
look at that
behavior.
Picture of Dottie.
Look at this guy.
Looks great.
It is.
They look
those
great.
Camels are
they're doing
huge,
a great job.
Though. They're huge.
Yeah, they are. No, they're doing a great job over there. Yeah. Canada, Croatia on Sunday. Ronaldo scored. Portugal hung on and won today. Brazil won 2-0. Neymar banged up, though. That could be a big story. So more on that later this afternoon. And I get the impression like the Croatian media, what they really wanted to hear from John Herdman, we'll play a clip. This is what they actually wanted to hear. We'll come back and listen to that. We'll break it down. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Mark Masters into the next hour on the Jordy Ben injury and how that affects the defense for the Leafs. They got an afternoon game tomorrow on Mini, and then they fly to Pittsburgh for a game on Saturday night. Connor Timmins hitting the ice today. So we'll catch up with Mark on that and on just the atmosphere in Jersey last night. He also happened to be, I believe, the guy who asked the question to the coach that offered up a clip that I believe the Croatian media wants to hear from John Herdman. We'll play that at 5. We have a pair of Leaf tickets to give away. Leafs Kings, December 8th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. Tomorrow, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, the fourth of the week. His former Maple Leaf is still involved in hockey as a coach in the Western Hockey League. We all know who it is now. This one, one of our favorites. One of our favorites.
What was the last clue? He's a coach.
I can't go back on other clues.
No, just the one you just said. He's a coach in the Dub?
This former Maple Leaf is still involved in hockey as a coach in the Western Hockey League.
Yes.
Come on.
Might coach in the Calgary area?
Possibly. He might. He had a skull.
It's Lanny McDonald. My buddy called it yesterday. It's Lanny McDonald.
It very well could be. All right. Coming up, Jack Armstrong on how expensive was Drake's coat and what happened last night with the Raptors and how do they survive all these injury issues. Mark Masters as well. Bobby Mack still to come later this afternoon. And there's some nasty rumors out there. The IQ tests, they've been done, and the results are in.
Dude,
we may be revealing the IQ test today.
Slob? Am I better than you? Am I smarter than you?
I'm not telling you. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.